Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney.
Well, welcome everybody to the Living in Las Vegas extravaganza here on the Vegas Video Network. I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney. I'm coming off the Esteban Glow. Oh, it is nothing like having a master guitarist here. Just, you know, playing stuff.
Did it just make your day?
Oh, he's such a terrific guy. So I'm really happy that he came by.
Is he your favorite?
He's
musician?
The best guitarist ever. And that's why I was so happy that he showed up. I mean, he seemed nice. He brought his guitar. It was bedazzled. You got to love a bedazzled guitar. And the fact that he's such a good player, well, I was in heaven. Anyways, great to have you here. I'm joined by my naughty jelly sweet, my commander-in-chief. It's Melissa Whitney, everybody. Big head, big head.
Hey, I like that commander-in-chief.
Hey, first of all, before we say what's going to happen today, I want to say hello and thank you to Bread and Butter. These are the people who, Chris Herron, God bless his entrepreneurial little heart, he's out there making food. He's feeding people. People are voting because they need food. Vote Chris Herron.
Gross. Is he running for something?
He's running to have the best restaurant stuff going. He has Bread and Butter. He just opened up Meat and Three. We went and ate there a couple days ago.
Didn't we?
He's down in Hendertucky. It's a long ways away. You actually can see the earth bend as you see Bread and Butter. So it's a ways away. But they got great food at Bread and Butter, and
it
I think Meat
not.
And Three,
it's
about a year away from here. It's just outside the border of Texas. I mean, it's just out there.
Maybe from our house, but for most normal people in Vegas.
But we live in South Reno.
That's right.
So what are we doing today? We're going to do three things. We're going to get savory. That was fun. Then we're going to get swinging. And then we're going to scream. Scream! That's what we're going to do today. And after that, we're going to go see who won the election. But first, a big hello to our live studio audience who's lost a lot of weight. And our and of course, we cannot forget our fastest movie and our live chat as well.
What
hello, all
here?
You. And let's say hello to the coolest staff in the online broadcasting world. There they are. Is Tara running the TriCaster again? What? She's a rock star. And of course, he who remains. She loves being on camera. You know what? I think she kind of played us for fools. She's like, no.
She
reversed psychology to us.
She's over here hitting me.
Oh.
And it hurts.
She is a bit of a brute.
Hitting you to get out of the way of the camera?
Exactly.
Don't block my shot.
Don't hurt me.
Don't block my shot, man. Mama wants her airtime.
Mama said knock you out.
Mama said knock you out.
I thought that was Tomahawk. Said no.
Tomahawk said no. I used to have that sound effect.
How
but
come you don't?
We've thinned out a little bit.
Oh.
We're all about moving stuff fast. All right. So what do you want to talk about? First of all, it's election day. 75% of the people who are a part of the show, staff, or people here, 75% of us voted early.
Which one do you
one
think
of us,
did it?
One of us did. One of these things is not like the other. Your job, for those of you watching, those of you who are listening, you can't tell. But if you're watching, see if you can tell which one of us didn't vote early today?
Ding, ding.
See, we try to make our contest easy because we care. At VVN, we care. We want you to feel like I can get this question right. And so Melissa voted today, and for the first time ever, we didn't cancel our votes out. Well, that's what you told me. Is it still the case?
You'll never know.
Oh, really? You're not going to tell
me? How will you know for sure?
I will never know. You could tell me the truth for once or lie to me like you've done
should
forever.
Should I tell him? Should I tell him or make him suffer?
Make him suffer.
Oh!
Now, look at this. We've got already on the live chat. Ted is telling us he voted by mail. I thought you couldn't do that unless it was absentee, and I thought you had to have a reason to do that. We just had this talk.
Maybe he had a reason.
Jacob voted absentee last year, or last election.
Were you traveling?
He was in
we were
Europe.
In Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
See, think of that.
Oh, that's cool that you did that.
Yeah, well, you know, you take
it very seriously. I think that's good.
We're international.
I think everybody should vote. I think, you know, if you think about all the places in the country where you don't get to vote.
All the places in the country?
Or sorry, in the world. In the world where you don't get to vote or where it's very dangerous to vote.
You people in Ohio.
You don't generally have to worry about.
No, it should be an exciting election. We hope the best man wins.
You're just being biased now.
I didn't say who the best man was. I just said the best man wins. All right, so anyways, that's exciting. The over-under on the show is 45 minutes so we can get home and watch the election. Jacob's betting the over, and I'm betting the under. Here we go, we're moving along.
Take the over and see the cashier.
No way, man, we're moving right through. Are you mic'd up, Jacob,
yes,
by the way?
Yes,
well, that's
am,
good. That's,
don't you worry about
that's
it, I'm mic'd over here.
That's good, all right.
Somebody's got to try to keep you in line, Melissa. Melissa has a hard enough time already, and I'm just here to support
it.
You, Melissa.
By the way.
I'm here for you.
Yeah,
I need I can get Jacob, and
right.
I really appreciate it.
You're
that's
welcome.
Awesome.
I would argue Linda or Melinda has Melinda. Melissa
Melinda.
Has. Okay,
who's
well.
Melinda.
See ya.
Oh, well, yeah, this show is way under.
Wow.
Now, Melissa has never had a hard time keeping me under wraps, under control. You're like the man keeping me down with the thumb.
It's not easy. You put up more of a fight than most.
Right. Stop fighting. Stop fighting.
Disagree. Why do you have to argue all the time?
We have a live chat. Yes, Jacob.
I would like to point out that Ted, as well, in the chat, is taking the over.
Yeah.
So, Ted, take the over and see the cashier.
All right. Thank you, Ted. I've been very supportive of Ted and the whole Access Vegas environment. I'm a big fan of Access Vegas, but if they can't be on my side, they can't help me. Supportive, Ted. So I'm asking.
I have to say that if I had to vote on the over and under, I would pick over too.
Well, it's been a.
I'm not. And I'm part of the show.
Look, I've not been very good at setting the line. I understand. I you don't have to. You know, you don't have to be critical. I'm trying to do the best I can. What, another live chat? Really? Are these people ganging up on me?
Jacob.
Oh, man.
This new indicator is
no, wait. It's not me. This is from Shannon.
This is Shannon.
The live chat as well. On vacation.
Shannon,
I'm
you shouldn't be.
For your brother.
Yeah, okay.
Shannon's taking it over too. Take cash a ticket. See the cashier.
I can't believe Shannon's talking to me that way. Shannon, I hooked you up, brother. You know what?
You know?
I'm like matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. I did that for you, Shannon. You got to be on my side, brother. That's just what I'm saying. Okay. So election time. It'll be great. You know, we're going to go home and watch that. Show's almost done, so life is good. Okay. Second thing is, we talked about this last week. We weren't sure on GVR, Green Valley Ranch, which is one of the station properties down in the Hendertucky. Everything's about Hendertucky today.
I've never heard you say this word before. Did you just make it up today?
I didn't make it up. I've heard it a couple of times, and I like it.
Who made it? Who uses
it? I've heard
I've
it from
heard it.
Brandt said it. I had a meeting today down in Hendertucky, and they said it.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah.
I have never heard it.
Okay. Yeah, so GVR's... You know, one of the nicer properties under the station casinos environment, that and Red Rock is nice. And we talked last week, we had heard that Ovation, which is one of my favorite rooms, music rooms anywhere in all of Las Vegas, was being shut down. And we weren't sure if it was confirmed or not. Well, it has been confirmed. They are shutting down that room and for renovations. And the word is it's going to become a bingo location. So Melissa, I'm sure.
I am dying to play bingo.
Right.
I really am dying. How many times do we walk by the little bingo room?
Every
I say,
time.
I really want to play bingo.
Mm-hmm.
For years, I've been talking about playing bingo.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about this concept of musicians, because the musician community here freaked out when they heard that GVR is shutting down. And I have an opinion about that, but it's going to be a short opinion. Take the under. It's going to be a short opinion, and I'll give it a little
bit
later
in
the show.
Which is very rare for you.
Yeah. It's just stop picking on me, all you people.
I'm just tracking.
This is my place. Everybody's supposed to be supportive of me.
I'm just surprised. Because, you know, you like to debate and have conversations about
things. I do. No, I'm gonna probably rant a little bit later on. Because there's an example of the opposite of what's happening at GVR that is really cool, and I want to talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm trying to set it up so that in 45, yes, we're moving along, kids. Time to move along, right? So note done. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, a little bit faster than you expected, huh, Jacob?
That's right.
We're going to take the under, kids.
Long show.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to get our savory, swinging, screamy thing on. This is the Living in Las Vegas extravaganza on the Vegas Video Network. Be right back.
3, 2, 1. Well, I need to come up with something funny to say. 3, 2, 1.
Wow.
But the co-host. Really, I have to say watch it. Well,
that's how you do it. You don't watch it. There
okay.
you go.
I got it. We are
the odds couple.
Hi, my name is Scott Pritchard.
And I am Anthony Padilla.
You're watching the Vegas Video Network.
You are.
You are. We are, too.
First of all, Shannon, I appreciate that you appreciate that I've brought love together. Thank you. I'm a pimp daddy, kind of, in a way. I'm sure she would appreciate. Okay. I also want to say hi and thanks to LASIK in Nevada, who is also one of our big-time sponsors. We appreciate their stuff. By the way, 40,000 procedures. Most experienced LASIK guy living in Las Vegas. I think you should go see him. Wait a minute, Scott, you're wearing glasses. How are you pitching the LASIK guy? Well, it's easy. I checked him out. I went through all the tests, and I wasn't a candidate. So he's not going to work on you if you're not a candidate. It's pretty simple. I think that's pretty cool for him. All right. So we had a fun weekend this weekend. You know, it was kind of sometimes you just want to get your date on.
I love dates.
And so I'm like, hey, baby, what was your name, Melinda? That was a joke, but I know, I'm telling you, it's going to be for short. I said Melinda because I said it mistakenly the first time, and I remembered it because I usually don't remember stuff.
Yeah,
that's why you're so surprised.
You remembered my name as you're Melinda?
For God's sake. No, I remembered that I said Melinda mistakenly before, and that was funny, and now I remembered it again.
Don't worry.
You know what? So I had a meeting today. This is so weird. I had a meeting today. No, so I got talking about 12
okay,
minutes.
Okay, in Hendertucky. Go ahead.
Hendertucky business meeting. I can't tell you what it was for.
Are we acting out like charades?
No. Why would you say that?
Because you're using your hands a lot.
Because it was so funny. I get there, and I had met the owner of this company previously, and she had asked me to come in and talk to her employees about what we do and some of these sales techniques that I have. So I got in there, and she said, it was a 2-hour meeting.
You like doing that.
I love doing that. Whiteboards and talking. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. And there was a really good group of people, too. I think we're going to do some fun stuff. Anyways, so she's, I met Chris and introduced me as Chris. Now, I have.
Oh,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You're standing up in front
no,
of
no,
all
no,
the
no.
people?
I was sitting next to her. I hadn't stood up yet.
Okay, but they're all in the room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
so
awkward.
It's happened. I have been introduced as Chris and Steve as often as I have been introduced as Scott.
Really?
It is so weird.
Do you think people call you...
They call me Chris. I get Chris all the time.
How funny.
Isn't it weird?
I get Michelle a lot.
And I actually called her out. I said, hey, first of all, I'm Scott. Second of all, I get called Chris all the time.
That's so weird.
A nice guy's like, you know, you kind of look like a Chris. Oh, well, there you go. I guess I'm a Chris. Anyway, so...
I kind of think you do look like a Chris.
What's a Chris look like? Is it the spiky hair like Chris, Chris Phillips, Zoe Bowie? He's got kind of a spiky.
He's got better spiky hair.
I don't
know that she knows.
It's
him.
A he. Oh.
I don't know that he knows. Mm.
Do you rap?
I don't know. It's just so weird. Do I rap? No. I also don't make $10,000 doing it either. Anyway, so date night, booyah! I'm like, come on, baby, let's go. I got my cowboy boots on, boobity boop bop ba boop. So we decided to go where?
Wait, can I just back up a little bit?
Not really.
Are you going to talk about our trip to Aliante?
And, oh, and I, I had it on the notes, so I took it out.
Let's talk about it as we see how things
evolve. Yeah, it's because so Aliante we talked about that last week. Aliante was ripped out of the station's world. It's on its own now.
But we went over there on last Friday.
Yeah.
For dinner.
Just sniffing around. It was busy. The restaurants that had changed hands hadn't opened yet, so we didn't really have an opinion of that.
Let's talk about it when we
get a better chance to look at it and see what they're doing.
I agree. I've heard some things.
Oh. You can't do that and expect me to hit the under and let me go through this.
No, that's okay.
We're doing this.
Yeah.
What'd you hear? Just whisper in my ear real fast.
No.
Okay. That was no. I hear that a lot. Hey, baby, why not? No. Okay. So we went to the Cosmo. Haven't been to the Cosmopolitan for a while now. And it's interesting. Cosmopolitan had, you know, when it initially came out, God, everybody loved it. It's a sexy kind of place. When they first did their first finances, everybody's like, oh, these guys are going to die because they weren't making any money in gambling. They were making all the money in F&B, food and beverage. So we're like, okay, let's go to the Cosmopolitan. And we went to this place. First of all, so we pull in. Well, the first time we reviewed the Cosmopolitan, we're like, this is the coolest parking lot ever. It's just the coolest parking lot. You walk, you drive in, it tells you how many, you know, slots are open.
Right.
And then you see red light, green light.
Over the parking stall.
So you can just look down and go, oh, there's a green light, there's a parking. Awesome, right? So the first time we were in there, we're like, this is the way it should always be. So we couldn't do valet for whatever reason. I forget why that didn't work out. So we were like, hey, that's okay, coolest parking lot in the world. Let's do it again. So we pull down the first group, and it says, you know, there's 17 spaces. Ah, let's screw that. Let's go down to the second floor, whatever. Oh, there's 125 spaces. And we look, and they're all red. They're all red. We're like, what the hell's going on? So we're driving around, and then we see a whole bank of red that are open. I'm like, wait a minute.
There was a sign for
valet.
No. There was a sign saying a big chunk of them were reserved for the casino that's next door.
Oh, that little one.
The Joy
Luck Club. What is that? What's that little casino called? I bet you. Jockey Club. That's right.
So a bunch of them in the middle were reserved for the Jockey Club, but I wonder if.
But the ones on that outside weren't.
But I wonder if it's the same switch that makes them all turn red.
No. Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Because I think they switched for the...
It was confusing.
I agree. But
I didn't like it.
But that's what I think.
So they need to get sharper on that. That was, we were a little, pissed a little bit. We pisotoed.
I wasn't pissed.
I was like, come on. All right, so we get in there. And then here's the other thing, and we'll get into it. Internet access at Cosmo, for some reason, is really difficult. On your phone.
Neither one of our phones.
I couldn't figure it out. I tried because I had some nice pictures I wanted to share because there were some pretty cool things going on and we couldn't do it. I read an article today that said that if you turn off the Wi-Fi on your phone, it might improve, internet access in casinos. So I'm going to try that next time I'm in Cosmo and just see if that makes better. Mm-hmm. Okay, so three S's: savory, swinging, scream, savory. We went to a place called The Henry. The Henry is a restaurant at the Cosmopolitan, first floor. You know, a lot of their restaurants are on the second floor, all the fancy stuff, STK, Milo's, some other stuff. A lot of the juice, if you will, of their big foodie place is on the second floor
but
of
the
Cosmo.
The Henry is downstairs, really, really close to the Chandelier Bar.
Right, first floor, right at the casino, and it's been there since the inception. I thought it was a newer restaurant. It's actually been there since the very, very beginning. We went there because our friend Jackie, friend of the network, said that it's one of her favorite places.
And we had never been there.
And we'd never been there.
So when we go out, usually on date night, we like to try new places.
Right. So we went and sat down.
What kind of restaurant someone asked me today how you would describe it.
And the website does a pretty good job of that. Could you pop that up real quick? It talks about, you know, the vibe of there.
What's
it say? Old schooled, revamped, classic. So it's the dark leather, dark wood kind of thing.
But they have comfort food there.
Yeah.
They have that macaroni and cheese I wanted to try so bad.
So the first thing that happened that we thought was hysterical. So we get a booth. And we look around, and we got a photo. There's a phone behind us, and we thought it was a prop. Come to find out, it was a working phone. We got a photo of Melissa. There, she's calling her broker right now. Yes, sell, buy, buy, sell, sell, sell. And we were like, what's happening with this? Why do you have these phones there?
Well, you thought it was a joke. And so you're like, oh, yes, it's for you. And you hand it to me, and there's a dial tone.
Right.
I'm like, this is a working phone. How cool is this?
Very cool. And so we asked the people, why is there a working phone here? What's going on? They're like, well, we had them as props. They were just for fun. And then people started complaining that the phone didn't work. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, really? This is the reason? So we made them work because people were complaining. I said, okay, well, that's great. And then what was he saying? That at a certain time, they hide the phones.
They're open for 24 hours.
Right.
So I think it's kind of supposed to be like their cafe. I don't know, but it's fancier than a cafe.
Much fancier.
But during what do they call that? The late hours.
Grave
shift, they turn, they hide the phones. So, because people start trying to dial crazy places and stuff. So,
hey, baby, I still love you.
I can see them calling like 911 or trying. I don't know how the dialing works exactly.
All right.
But yeah, it was kind of fun.
So, we got started to get our grub on. What's my test? First test, of course, is a Caesar salad. Now, they don't make it tableside, so a few places do, sadly. But the Caesar salad was really good. It had that slight anchovy flavor to it. Didn't actually have anchovies, which I like. So didn't have the anchovies, but it had that kind of vibe. So man, oh man. I'm like, okay.
You really liked it?
It was very, very good. And now what did you have for your opening? Did you remember? Do you remember?
I am drawing a complete blank.
Okay, so it wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good.
It was unrememberable.
What did I have?
Or did you have anything? You had the little breadsticks. Those were pretty good.
I'm sure I had something.
I know what they did do that was good. It was a nice pour of wine.
Oh yeah, they did
right?
have a good.
Pour. And it was a nice play. So
they
we're like.
They don't have a very good wine. They don't have a very extensive wine
selection.
Wine by the glass.
Oh yeah, and it was $16.
Which was disappointing.
Yeah, it was $16 for a glass of wine.
But it was Rodney's, you know, strong. So.
But what's nice is he let you taste it first to make sure that you liked it. If not, you weren't going to have it. Instead of just bringing out the glass.
But they only had like five red wines total
by the glass. And then he did something where he poured a little bit and said, well, if you have a little sip, I'll just top this off. So it was like, it was like a, what's that place?
You don't have to ask me twice.
It was
That's
like an
I
outback.
Thought, yeah,
it was what I call an outback pour, right? Or a red lobster pour where they fill the bottle or the glass at the very top. Like, here you go, pal. You know, you're sipping the wine out. So it was a big pour. I was like, oh, well, here we go. All right. So then we decide, okay, it's time to eat. And then we ordered food.
And now, I'm trying to remember what I had.
You had salmon.
Oh, I had the salmon.
We have a picture of this. Now, this was interesting. So again, my test for a lot of these types of restaurants is the ribeye. And so I ordered the ribeye. We have a photo of that. And what was interesting about that, so they had the ribeye,
good, right?
And then they have the goo with it. And then
scallop
over there
potatoes.
Is the scalloped potatoes. So everything's a la carte, right?
I didn't get to taste the potatoes.
And I had the potatoes. The potatoes were really good. So what was interesting, the thing that really stood out about this particular entree was that I asked them about the cut. And they said, well, what's interesting, for all the, now I think I get this right, all the restaurants use a single butcher. So STK and Milo and all the people who do steaks use the same on-site butcher. So the cuts of meat that you would get at STK are the same cuts that you get at the Henry.
But it was much smaller than I'm sure.
Well, but that's not what he said. He said it was the same cut.
That means
the same cut. The same thing.
It doesn't. I don't think that's what that.
That's what I thought.
I think the same cut means it's coming from the same cut of beef. But your steak seemed thinner than what I would expect at a high-end steak place. And I think that is why it's reflected in the price, too.
Well, so here's what was interesting.
Because your ribeye was only $38.
Right, so it was much cheaper. But I think that's part of just, you know, that was their pitch. It's the same cut, but not the same price.
They didn't say the same size.
But that was that guy's pitch.
I don't think, but
it was 16 ounces. It was a 16-ounce piece of steak. It's huge.
I'm just saying it was thinner. It was about.
Let me see that picture again. Let's take a look at this thing here. There it is. Maybe. But you'll notice, you know, like most ribeyes have the bone-in ribeye. This one did not have that. I kind of like the bone-in. I don't know. It makes me feel like a caveman or something.
I think the bone during cooking adds certain flavor.
Yeah. So, you know, scale 1 to 10. I thought it was, you liked
my
it actually.
Salmon was phenomenal.
Well, so I'm going to talk about the steak for a minute. You know, 1 to 10, I'd say it was about 7-ish.
You tried liked it. The steak and I thought it was good.
The goo was good. I salted my steak. Usually at the high-end places, you don't have to salt your steak. So it wasn't as good as I thought it could be. Salmon, we have a photo of the salmon as well. It looked very good.
It was delicious.
There it is. Oh, that's very pretty.
It was very, very good. Oh, you know what I had? I had their wedge salad.
Oh, that's right. Was it good?
Yeah, it was great. Well, I got it with, with the blue cheese. It was delicious.
Right.
But my salmon was phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think you gave me a bite. That was very good.
I would say some of the best salmon I've had in a long time.
So, 1 to 10.
And it was in the $20 range.
Yeah, the pricing was, you know, not SDK, not Delmonico, fancy schmancy, but it was, you know.
I thought the service was good.
Service was very good.
They don't have an extensive wine list, but again, we weren't eating at a steakhouse, right? So, I thought for the price point, I thought it was very good.
Yeah, we got a good table, good place, good service. They had a bar there, and there was some football games on, so there was a lot of people yelling and screaming, and you thought that was a bit odd.
It is a more casual restaurant, but it's not a sports bar and grill.
Right.
But the people were really kind of hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
You know, like really cheering the team on, which is great. It just was weird because it is a notch above a typical cafe.
Right.
It's fancier, but it just was interesting.
Live chat. Live chat.
Ted says that bone-in provides more flavor.
All right. See, I had a really funny idea in my head there, and I can't say it.
Good. That's very good.
No, it was funny, though. You're right, Ted. Bone-in does provide more flavor. Anyway, so...
Well, maybe that's why you had to salt it.
Overhaul the... That's right. So overall, we would say the Henry, we'd go.
Absolutely. I would absolutely go back there again.
That's good. Okay, so then we decided, all right, we did our savory. Now... By the way, I taught Melissa how to snap on the 2 and the 4, which is like one of my greatest accomplishments, is to teach somebody from the Midwest how to snap.
It doesn't have
not like
to
a goofy
do with
white person.
It has to do with not being musically inclined.
Right, or having any kind of, you know, rhythm. And now you do, right? You have rhythm now, right? You can hear music and go, oh, that's 2 and 4. It's pretty cool.
I would say 8 out of 10 times.
That's right, about 80%. It's pretty good. So then we went to the Chandelier Bar. Now, the Chandelier Bar at Cosmo is the big iconic thing there. It's 3 stories. Every bar has its own menu. It's very fancy schmancy. A gazillion pieces of crystal. They're not plastic, they're crystal. It's amazing. It's very pretty. And, you know, it's when we first got there, you know, a year ago or whenever they opened, we're like, well, that's a pretty damn cool bar. And when they first opened, they had music there, but I forget what kind it was. It didn't resonate.
I don't remember there being live music there.
There was. We walked by once, and there was like a trio of something happening.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't resonate. It just didn't do whatever it was supposed to do.
Sure.
Now, I'm now going to do my rant. Here it is. Okay. So what we saw there was a band called the New Jazz Testament. This is led by a guy named Chandler Judkins. Chandler is a cat. He plays trumpet in the Frankie Moreno band. Okay, so the guy is a monster.
A great band.
Yeah, great. It's a great big band. So he's a trumpet player there, and he's fronting this band called the New Jazz Testament. Jeff Davis on bass, Tony Branco on keys, Mike Moreno on drums, and Laura Schaefer on vocals. So.
Do you think Mike Moreno is Frankie Moreno's?
I was just thinking that when I read it. No, I don't. I don't think they're related. But so we get there and get a nice table right in front of these folks.
Because we like to go watch jazz.
See,
I mean, we used to go.
It's really hard.
It
is really hard to find great jazz here in Las Vegas. You know, you'll get it at this, you know, at a Sunday brunch in one place. There used to be that wine place over at Town Square that had, you know, a 3-piece band kind of thing going. It was pretty neat. I liked it. But it's hard to find really hardcore, great jazz, right? So we headed over to the Chandelier Bar, and we sit down in our booth, and these guys are playing. And here's the deal for the musicians out there who are screaming and yelling because GVR closed the Ovation Room. The overall thing that you kept hearing all the time was the bean counters have taken over. It's the bean counters that are making Vegas terrible. Well, here's the truth of the matter. The bean counters have always been in charge. Always. They have never not been in charge. But back 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, the bean counters didn't care if the music was a loss leader because everybody was coming to Vegas to gamble and to eat and drink, right. And it didn't matter. But it matters now. And that's the deal. So why did GVR close? The bean counters realized that whatever reason it is, now it could be the configuration of that bar. There's a great room. I mean, it's a great room. There's a bar in between the casino and the room. You can block it off so you can't see it. It's the same configuration, by the way, as at Santa Fe. They have the same bar set up there. It's the same thing. They're doing the same thing at the Palms, the room that we've seen a few people in. I'm going to be going there on Friday. They've got a bar in between a big room that they can block off. So that room configuration works, or they wouldn't probably be doing it. But at the end of the day, the job of the musicians is to solve the problem of the casino, which is what? Draw people into that room to do one of two things, gamble or drink. That's all they care about. So the New Jazz Testament solved the problem. We sat there.
You're on a roll.
Well, this, you know, you've got... I've talked to a lot of entertainers, and you know, I like a lot of them, and I think a lot of them aren't paying attention. And they're like, gosh, you know, everything's terrible. Everybody's picking on us. They're not picking on you. But they have a problem to solve. And, you know, they should be advertising for us. No, you should be drawing people in because you're so damn good. And guess what happened? When the New Jazz Testament started playing, when we walked in there, whenever they played a song, they would play, and not every song, but a couple songs, people were lining up behind us.
Well, but
tons of people.
I have something to say about this. I don't think part of the reason is because they aren't, you know, back in a room that is obstructed.
Yep.
You know, they are out in the middle.
Maybe.
In full view.
Maybe.
You can, you know, walk through there.
But.
Because you have to think about a lot of the people that we saw, right? A lot of the people were standing on the outside of the room.
Right.
Some would come in and sit down.
Sure.
But in these rooms where there is that wall, you know, there is a barrier.
I don't disagree.
At this place, there's not the barrier.
Which means then that Santa Fe will change their room. And the Palms will change their room because they're doing the exact same thing.
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, but here's the thing.
They got to draw people in somehow.
Well, but a casino, every square inch of floor space, you have to do the valuation.
That's right.
Of would we make
it's
more
ROI.
Money?
I
would
know.
We make more money to put machines here or to have entertainment?
Or
with
bingo.
With entertainment, if you're going to provide it for free, then you have to make the money on drinks.
That's right.
And beverages.
That's right.
So, and I think sometimes it is hard if you have the walls there, you know.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with that.
Whereas at the Crystals, you know, it was out in the middle.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter because remember I told you the first time we were there, there was a band playing and you didn't remember them. I remember them because I used to be a musician, and I look at that and just see what's happening. And they were drawing nobody. Anybody could sit anywhere.
But I wonder how many of those people came there because they heard they were playing or happened to be walking by.
Oh, happened to be walking by. Happened to be walking by. I think it was most of the people were just happened to be walking by. I mean, we're like, wow, it's cool. You know, we had people join us. We're like, wow, this is pretty cool. Can we join you? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Sit down. So, you know, definitely the Ovation Room's configuration could have caused some of the problem. But at the end of the day, I think musicians have to understand that you have to be able to solve a problem for them to want to keep you there. And I asked Chandler, you know, are you coming back? You know, because that would be the answer. If you're not coming back, then they tested you and it didn't work. And he's coming back. They're coming back at the end of November. And so what was great about that was, A, they were sucking people in. People were coming in and creating a crowd and creating excitement. People were coming in and having drinks. But the other part was, these guys are killers. Just, it was so much fun watching these guys play and listening to these guys play. I mean, they were all top notch. And Chandler, who's the trumpet guy, sings.
Well, that
which we
Laura,
did not know.
Laura Schaefer,
no.
She was
she
amazing.
Can sing.
And she was beautiful.
Very pretty.
There were a lot of people taking their pictures.
A lot of photos being taken there.
She was really dressed.
We got some photos here as well.
What would you call that era? 50s?
50s, kind of the, yeah,
really
so.
Look at how there's, she is.
So there's Chandler singing there, holding his trumpet off to the side. There's Laura singing in the red dress. Maybe that's Chandler in the red dress. Hard to say. But you can see, I mean, the shot there, it's a beautiful space. There's no question.
And they actually are kind of on a stage that's just above the bar.
Yeah, it's like there's a part of the bar that's to their feet off to their left, mm-hmm. and then there's the main bar behind them. I think we have one more photo as well of this. Yeah, this is more of a front on where we were at. So that staircase behind her goes to the second floor of the chandelier bar, and then if you keep going up, it goes to the third floor. But you can see that, you know, the way they have staged that is beautiful. I mean, it's the perfect staging, you know, great jazz and this high-class vibe. What's that?
It's right. This actually sits in the middle, whereas, you know, most of the station bars are up against a wall in a corner.
Most of the station bars are, But so, you know, perfect example of a great bar, or what I thought would be a good positioning, was the bar at Paris. Right, you know, you walk in, you make a hard right, a hard left, and there used to be that bar that people were playing at, you could just walk right in. They have blocked all that off.
Just that night when the DJ starts.
Are you sure about that?
Yep.
Oh, really? Oh, so it's open in the daytime? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that's interesting. So I think the idea of great music drawing people in works, but you do have to give them the chance to do that. So maybe Ovation didn't do that, but it also has to fit the venue.
But you think about the musicians there, Michael Grimm and Lon Bronson are amazing musicians. So yeah. I don't think, it sounded like you were saying that their musicianship was
No. Lon Bronson's a monster. They have to have conversations with the property and say, what do you want from us? You know, what do you want us to do? What's the point here? That's it. It's the business part of it. Now, Lon Bronson, I think he's great. I think his band is amazing. I'm a big fan of his. But the question is, are they communicating and saying, what do you want from me so that you're a success? Lon should want Station to be successful, or GBR to be successful, right?
I can't imagine these conversations.
I don't know.
I think you can't compare these two venues.
Well, what I'm trying to compare is that what happened at Chandelier Bar is exactly what they want to have happen.
Sure.
You want musicians who fit the vibe of the bar and draw people in. And that's exactly what happened at Chandelier. We saw it happen song after song.
Here's part of the reason Station Casinos, you know, their stuff is sectioned off, really, I think, so that they can charge people admittance.
Yeah, but they're not charging for...
But I'm just saying they have it set up that way. Imagine if they took Lon Bronson and put him in a similar, or Michael Grimm, in a similar venue as the Chandelier Club.
Right, so
in
guess what?
In the middle, open space.
I think Bronson would kill it there.
People would be going crazy.
That's a perfect example, because there was a big band that's played
there
as well.
That's why I'm saying this. That's an example of the facility not being appropriate.
I don't disagree with that completely, but there has to be conversation about, you know, how do we make this work? You know, what can we do? Do we put screens up so people can tell that there's a band in there, you know, in this dark area? I mean, that's the issue, is you've got to work together and make sure that you're helping each other. You're not just, you know, I'm hiring a guy and it's up to you. Let's make sure that we're working together to do the good work. That's what I meant. And that's what was happening in Chandelier. It was the first time in a long time I've seen people really drawn in. You know, Zoe Bowie does this. When Zoe Bowie plays at Red Rock, people are sucked into that bar. And that's why they've been playing there for 5 years, because people are jumping in there, they're drinking their butts off, and they're doing exactly what Stations wants from Zoe Bowie. They're drawing a bunch of people in to dance and drink and have a good time. And you know, and it's open and it's loud, so you can hear that. So, you know, it could have been a configuration problem. There's no question about that. But you got to figure out and not set yourself up for trouble. You know, I think the Chandelier Bar is a good thing. I think the bar, as a matter of fact, Michael Grimm is going to be playing at the bar that Zoe Bowie plays in right now at Red Rock. He's moving from GVR to Red Rock. Should be interesting, because it's a very different energy, Zoe Bowie to Michael Grimm. Michael Grimm is playing at Aliante. We're going to go see him at Aliante in probably a couple weeks. And they've got a beautiful showroom up there that's perfect for that kind of guy. So it may make sense, because that's a, you know, pay your dollars and get in and do your thing. So, You know, everybody in entertainment has to realize that you've got to understand the business model to be completely successful. And clearly Lon has. He's been in this business for 25 years. So I'm not saying he doesn't know anything. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying our job moving forward is to make sure that we understand what it is that you're looking for, what my job is, so that I help you and you help me. Live chat question.
Actually, question from me to you. No. Do you think Michael Grimm's going to be a good fit for Palazzo when he plays at Palazzo? Because that's one other place that he's going to be playing.
Oh, he's playing at the Zebra Bar. So this is a play. Who asked this question?
Me.
Oh.
That's a great question.
Yeah, so the Zebra Bar, this is one of those places. Okay, so Palazzo opened up this bar. Are you trying to make me do the over? Hey, right, bastard.
Not at all. Okay. You're already over because it's 6:39. You're not going to make 6:45.
45. I can do the last thing.
You still got a segment to do.
All right. So Palazzo. When that first opened, the Zebra Bar, which is the bar at the very back of the casino, right next to their buffet thing or whatever it is,
the cafe thing.
Let me hear what it's called. Yeah. It was a straight ahead jazz club. We were thrilled by that. We went the first couple of weeks. We're like, this is awesome. And it was great sound, great lighting, monster musicians. It lasted about 3 weeks. And then they kicked them out and brought in Top 40. And we're like, oh, well, you know, I can get Top 40 anywhere. So, this is a great room. Michael Grimm in that room, he'll crush it. He'll crush it. It's a small room. I mean, it's not very big. And I think Michael Grimm digs a kind of a...
more intimate?
Yeah. I think that, I mean, I got that vibe when he was on Talk Tales last week or a couple weeks ago. That he's kind of a shy guy. But a monster talent. So it's kind of a weird thing in that, you know, we know a lot of very talented people who are very, you know, loud and boisterous. And he's one of those guys who is pretty quiet. Like, we met Taylor Hicks, and he's pretty quiet, but he can get, you know, louder, you know, off camera. But Michael, I think, is pretty much always pretty quiet. I mean, I don't know him personally other than when I met him, but he has that kind of vibe. But I think that would be a good room for him. I thought the Ovation would be a good room for him as well. I think the Access showroom at Aliante will be awesome for him. As a matter of fact, his management loves that room. It's beautiful. I don't know about
When's
the Red Rock room.
There?
Huh?
When's he playing?
I think it's the 16th at Aliante. I'm not sure.
No, I mean, when is
Mike? Oh, at Palazzo?
I'll look it up really quick, and when we come back from this break, I'll give you the dates.
So let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to wrap up with the, we did Savory, we did Swingin', and now we're going to do Screamin'. This is the Vegas Video Network. Be right back.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
And we're back. Hey, if you want to reach out to us, several ways to do that. You can do it via email. You can do that by going to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. Hey, let's say that you want to hear your voice on our show. God, we've heard your singing voice. It's very pretty. Well, the way you do that is you go to our website, you click a little red tab on the right side, and you click it and go boop. Next thing you know, you start recording, you're leaving. You got to have, by the way, you've got to have a microphone. That seems reasonable. And that's for upcoming shows. It's not for the show that we're doing right this second. And, of course, we'd love to have you here in our live chat because you make us groovy. And if you don't catch us live, don't you worry your pretty little heads. You can watch us on Vegas Video Network, iTunes, Roku, YouTube, and every Saturday at noon at KSHP 1400 AM, where the groovy people go and listen to stuff. Okay. Now, after jazzing off, we're like, okay, we had a savory dinner. We kind of was swinging. Now, let's get the hell skirt out of us. So we decided to go across the street over to the V Theater to bum, 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 Evil Dead, the musical
Doesn't that just sound like an awesome date?
Isn't that a great date?
What time does that show start?
11:30.
That was a little past my bedtime. I can't wait to talk about this.
Yes. Oh, wow. That was weird the way you came at that. Okay, so.
Because I'm not sure you realize.
What? Your opinion of this? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know.
Oh.
Well, we'll see. So, Evil Dead, the musical. Kind of messing with Jacob a little bit here. It's good to be a talent for a minute. So, these guys have been around for a while and have gotten a lot of following. So the deal here, so this is based upon Evil Dead, the movie. Melissa wasn't aware of this movie, and I don't remember seeing it because I don't like scary movies.
But you know it's like a, you know it's like a cult.
It's a huge
movie. It's like,
cult
it's
thing.
It's like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, huge
but
cult.
But it's called Evil Dead.
Right.
But, you know, there were people shouting out.
Yeah, lines in the movie. A little bit. And
not as bad as Rocky Horror, but I'm like,
wow.
What? People know what's going on?
Right. And so we hadn't watched the movie, so we didn't. I mean, but it, so basically the premise of the play is the typical horror movie. You know, kids go to a cabin in the forest and
there's the cute
zombies
girl,
come and
there's right. the dorky right. kid.
Right. So what was interesting about this was A, it was 11:30 at night. Second part.
I have to say, yes. On date night, that was might have been a little late.
Oh, come on. You're not that old.
It
it's okay.
It has nothing to do with being old. It's just that.
You seem to be okay.
We had dinner. Really? Because I fell asleep in it.
Okay. Really?
You didn't know.
You fell asleep?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It was absolutely. I am, you know, I'm not. No.
Okay. So here's what happened.
That's what happened.
Right. She fell asleep. Well,
you didn't
so
know.
It starts off, there's an interesting concept. So it's in 4D. It's Evil Dead, the musical in 4D. And the 4D is, there is a what they call the splatter zone, I think they call it. First three or four rows. And you have to basically say you're willing to get blood poured on you. And so they get everybody in T-shirts, Evil Dead white T-shirts
with targets on them,
right? And they put them up. There's a side bar, you know, right there. There used to be a bar called the Stripper Bar. They've removed the word stripper. Thank you, Troy, for telling us about that. They removed the word stripper, and it just says bar now. And so we decided to hang out there before the show started. So we're in there, surrounded by all these people in white T-shirts, and then we got our standard. This is the one thing about the Saks theaters that I'm not a big fan of. You know, again, these big giant drinks that are, I think it was $15 a pop, which I guess isn't too bad. Fun bartender, but God, I mean, really that big? Anyways, that, you know, I get to take home a giant, I'm never going to take home a giant Saks theater drink. Harry, want to have it? I'm not going to do it. All right, so we're there. All these people are there. You know, can't wait to get their goo on.
There were a lot of people in line too.
Yeah, it was a big crowd. This place, I don't think it sold out, but it was a full-ish house.
Yes.
So right before the show, some guy, a zombie, gets up there on, you know, a little short wall and starts yelling at all the guys who are going to get gooed on and basically making fun of the people like us who aren't going to be gooed on. A lot of swearing, a lot of cussing. I get it. And so then we all, you know, go and have our seats. And they start the play. So my overall feeling of this was, if I was a big fan of the movie, I probably would just love this show.
There were some people sitting right next to us who were clearly big fans of this show. And they, like, the guy was explaining to the girl what's going on, and he was shouting out lines. Like, I think this was, he had been there multiple times. To this at the Saks Theater, so at the V Theater, it was interesting.
Yeah, so you could tell that if you knew the story, which basically covered my guess is the first movie, you'd be into it. And we had some pictures sent to us by the folks there at the V Theater. They don't allow photography in there, but they sent us. So you're going to get an idea of flavor of this play
you
pretty quickly here.
Definitely get drenched.
If you're in the front row, they pour blood all over you. You know, the actors
blood,
do it.
It's
no,
not
it's
real
actually
blood.
One of the weird things about this theater was it smelled. I can't tell.
I heard someone who was in the splatter zone describing it, and she said it tasted like Kool-Aid.
Well, have you ever had stage blood? So stage blood
no,
is.
No,
I have.
No, I've
I
not
have.
Had stage blood before.
Halloween, where I come from, you used to do that. So it had a kind of a sweet, sugary smell, and it has a sweet, sugary taste. But so they were basically pouring it on these people through a variety of ways, from the side of the stage. The actors were pouring it from themselves. But so just the general idea of what the cast looks like here.
I mean, they were drenched.
They're completely drenched.
You're not, don't be planning to go to a club.
Right. So, you know, these are the leads. And I, to be honest, I forgot their names. One of the things that I had an issue with, I think the next photo here is she's the nerd girl in the beginning and then she turns into a zombie. I had a really hard time hearing her dialogue. And it was well mic'd. They had, you know, the little side mic kind of things. So I don't know what it was, what the deal was, but for a couple actors, I couldn't really hear the dialogue. So I missed some of the jokes. But as we continue to go through some of these photos here, I mean, you get an idea. So again, the lead, his girlfriend that you saw in the first picture has now turned into a zombie. And then they eventually cut off his hand, and which is right there. And that's part of the joke, is he eventually puts a chainsaw on his hand. There's a chainsaw right there, as a matter of fact, cutting. And so blood's pouring all over him, and blood's being poured on the audience in the front. And the audience, who I saw, loved it. That thing is a shotgun. They call it a boomstick in the movie. And people were like, you know, they would yell out the word boomstick. We're like, hey, what? What's
funny.
Boomstick? Wait, the guy in the beard here probably was the funniest guy in the play. Short part towards the end. You know, I'll bring you up to the cabin kind of place. He has some really funny lines, really well delivered, pretty good stuff. And this other girl was the second kind of girlfriend. And as we continue down the show here, the play, you know, they get, was that the last one? It was, right? It gets bloodier and bloodier and all that good stuff. So
and campier and campier. And if you're into that, you'll really enjoy it, I think. And if you're into, you know, these scary movies at all, you're going to really enjoy it. I really did doze off because it was too late but I'm telling you, people there were laughing and having a great time.
So I compared it with Summer Camp.
Yes.
Which did you like better?
Summer Camp.
And I did too.
But is that because
but
we
why?
Don't like scary movies?
Well, but it wasn't scary. There wasn't a scary
but,
thing
I mean,
in that.
We're not into that genre.
Well, that might be, but I didn't know Summer Camp.
Summer Camp was more like a comedy.
Right. And well, so was, I would argue that they thought this was a comedy as well.
Bloody, gory.
Yeah, but they were laughing. People were laughing at it. I just thought that Summer Camp was funnier. And I thought, and they're both musicals. I thought the songs were funnier in Summer Camp.
But this comes with a built-in fan base.
A huge fan base, and in talking to the guy who runs it, it's going to be extended to June and beyond probably.
Well, like I said, there was a big line of people.
Yeah.
People loved it. People were totally into it. I think they've probably made a lot of money off it.
Yeah, so I would say that, first of all, if you're a fan of Evil Dead, you should go to see this. I mean, I completely get why people would love this.
Me too.
Just by watching the people around it. Around us.
Yeah.
I can't explain why I couldn't hear the dialogue of that one girl very well. And she's a very important part of that show. I mean, she's actually one of the pivot points of that whole story. So it was a little annoying for me about that. But if you dig the movie, go see it. If you dig that kind of fun, you know, campy blood and gore, you should go see it. You know, would I consider it the best play we've seen here? I wouldn't. But I get why you see it. Live chat question.
Ray says, you're almost done. Who's the next president? Because that's what you posted on Facebook.
I'd also like to
point out that you're over the 40.
Oh,
I know.
No.
45.
I know.
See the cashier.
See the cashier. Well, once again, I'm here to help other people make real money. And Ray, I wrote that. Thank you for coming on and checking us out. I think Ray probably knows. I know who you want to vote, Ray. You're one of those guys who wouldn't shut the hell up on Facebook and told everybody how they should vote. God bless your 6'5", scary, long-haired heart. I don't know who the next president is. I'm about to find out. I will not tell you who I voted for. I will not tell you who will win.
I think Jacob has another question.
Just one more thing really quick. Michael Grimm is at Palazzo. 18th through the 21st.
Of November. Yeah, so go see him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to pay to get in? Probably do, right?
Thanksgiving.
18th through the 21st.
Oh, that's before Thanksgiving.
November.
Is that the week? That's the weekend
real quick
before.
On the website, right there.
Yeah, that's the weekend before.
It says right there on his website, 18th right there through the 21st.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving is on the 22nd.
I would say go see him.
Yeah. I
tell you what, when he came here and played, That guy can play, maybe, boy. Holy crap, he can play.
Maybe we should go that Saturday night. I think the 18th is a Saturday.
Yeah, maybe we'll go do that. We're gonna see him at Access, at Aliante. All right. So I think that's it. Savory, swinging, screaming, baby. It was a fun night.
It was a very interesting date night.
It was a fun night.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. It was good. All right. That's it, everybody. Thanks again for playing along. Thanks. Good luck to the next president. Please, for the love of God.
You should sing the presidential. Dee, 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 dee.
Thank you for watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast. We'll see you next week when we'll have a president. Who will it be? Well, it'll be the same guy as today. But maybe in January, it won't be the same guy. I don't know.
You lost it.
Everybody goes, how about some credits? See you later. Do 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 do